What does grace actually do? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is the St. Joe Society podcast. The St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ by growing strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to learn more about our work, you can check us out online at stjosephsociety.org. All right, gentlemen, I hope you guys are doing well. This is the Intro to Spiritual Theology, episode 10. And this week, we're going to try to answer the question, what does grace actually do? Okay, so we are going to look at the life of grace. Now, last week, we just discussed the universal call to holiness. And what is holiness? Tankery defines as the supernatural life is the life of God in us, the life of Jesus in us. It is the life which we must protect against all destructive tendencies. So what the spiritual life is fostering the supernatural life of grace inside of us and fighting the battle, fighting the good fight of faith to retain that life within us against the threefold concupiscence of the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. So that's what we talked about last week. This week, we're going to discuss the life of grace. And the notions we're going to look at is we're going to define what grace is, justification and merit, and then also just briefly look at the difference between actual and habitual grace and what effects they have in the spiritual life. Now, if you have studied any theology before, the terms that I just rattled off, this is a gigantic topic, okay? So when I teach, I've lectured on actual grace alone, just actual grace, and filled about 4 hours of time of lecture, okay, with just that topic, okay? So these are massive topics. In the future, maybe I'll do a whole six-month series on, you know, what's grace and things like that. But remember, in this intro to spirituality, we're just getting the basics down. So when you talk about the spiritual life, I'm going to use the term grace. We'll use the term justification, merit, actual, habitual grace. You really just need to know these definitions. So this week, what we're going to try to accomplish is just what are these words referring to? Because when you guys read the literature on spiritual theology from a Catholic perspective, you're going to run into these terms all the time. Okay, so that's the goal this week. Again, we're going to use these terms for the remainder of this 6 month. And then in future series for sure. All right. So that's the plan. All right. So let's get down to it. So what is grace? Now, grace is the participation in the life of God. Okay. So I'm using that definition straight out of the catechism, paragraph 1997. All right. So this, when I read the Tankery quote earlier, the supernatural life is the life of God in us. That's what grace is. It's a way that we participate in God's life. All right. Now, we are not born natural. We can't do this naturally. So when we are born into a state of original sin, we are not in friendship with God and we're not participating in the life of God. So we need to be brought from that state into friendship with God. This is what justification is. Okay. So the term justification, and I'm taking this straight from the Council of Trent. Okay. The Council of Trent defines justification as, quote, the transition from the state in which man is born as the son of the first Adam to the state of grace and adoption as sons of God through the second Adam, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Okay. So if grace is our participation in the life of God, we are not born into that state. We need to move from our fallen state into this friendship with God. That movement is called justification. Okay. So if we get into a theology of baptism in the future, baptism is the movement. And so when we are justified before God, okay, through God's grace, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, we are reconciled to the Father. That's one of the fruits of our salvation, okay, into the Paschal mystery. That's what justification is called. When you fall out of a state of grace and you come back into it through making a good confession, justification. Justification for Catholics is a process that happens over time. We grow in our friendship and our justification with God. All right. So those are our first two terms. The third one we want to get at before we turn our attention to the two basic types of grace is merit. Now, what merit is, okay, and I'll take this quote from Ludwig Ott. By his good works, the justified man really acquires a claim to supernatural reward from God. When you merit something, you earn something, okay? Now, this is ridiculously important. In a state of nature, okay, after original sin, before we're baptized, before we've been justified by grace, a man can do nothing to merit eternal life. Nothing. So if this was a longer series on grace, we would spend a whole episode discussing the heresy of Pelagianism. Okay. So Pelagius was a British monk who argued that original sin did not affect us. Okay. And that a man by his own natural powers could earn favor with God. This is heretical. Okay. Church flat out stamps this out. So we can do nothing in a state of nature to merit salvation at all. But does that mean we can't merit eternal life? No, because when grace comes upon us and we are justified, we are placed into a state of grace, our intellects and our wills are empowered by grace, and then we can freely choose to do activity that merit eternal life. Okay? And a lot of Protestants misunderstand this. A lot of Catholics do too. If someone asks you, can good works earn eternal life? The answer is yes and no. No, natural good works do not merit eternal life. Yes, supernatural good works do. So it depends on what we're talking about. All right. So what have we covered so far? Grace is our participation in the life of God. But we have to move from a state of fallen nature, you know, the state that we follow through the first Adam, to the state of being friends with God, being welcomed into his company. That process, that movement is called justification. Once we are justified and we are in a state of grace, we then through our acts can merit eternal life. That's how that works, okay? And we cannot merit eternal life naturally. We can through the supernatural infusion of divine grace. All right, so there's some basics. We're going to talk about those three terms a lot, okay? So we have those defined. Now, when you look at grace, all reflections on grace can be split between two types of grace. Now, underneath each of these categories, there's other things to consider, but we're going to keep things nice and simple here. There is a primary difference between what's called an actual grace and a habitual grace. And these are also terms that you'll hear over and over and over and over and over in the literature. And I'm going to use a lot in here as well. Okay, what is actual grace? Actual grace is a temporary supernatural act of God directed towards the spiritual power of man for the purposes of moving him to a salutary act. What in the world does that mean? Okay. By nature, we can do exactly nothing to merit eternal life. Nothing. In order for us to perform any activity that's pleasing to God, any, God must enlighten our minds and our wills. Okay. He has to move in us interiorly so that we can be empowered to do a work that God finds acceptable. That movement in us is actual grace. Without it, we can do exactly nothing to merit eternal life. So you guys have probably all had this experience before. Maybe you're going throughout your day and you get this prompting, or this kind of movement where you're like, you know what? I should pray right now. I haven't said my prayers yet. I should say a prayer. Or maybe you're driving home from work and you're like, I should just stop by the parish. I got 5 minutes. Make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. That prompting, I can't guarantee that's what this is, but probably is what it is. That prompting is probably actual grace, where God's poking you and nudging you to do some act that can help you merit eternal life. Now, if you perform that act, you can't take all the credit for it, because without God's grace, you couldn't do it in the first place. But it's true that God is the primary cause of that act, so he gets the glory for the good we do. But it's also true that we're freely cooperating it, so we do merit as well. That's what natural grace is. It's a transient movement. So God moves. It's like a nudge. So if you think of it kind of like somebody's nudging you to do something, that's what an actual grace is. Now, the other type of grace is what's called habitual grace. Now, habitual grace, and sometimes you'll see in the literature, this is called sanctifying grace. This isn't just a nudge, but habitual grace is a stable supernatural disposition that perfects the soul itself and enables it to live with God. Okay, so actual graces are transient, which means God nudges you. If you cooperate with that grace, you do some salutary act that merits you, a growth in grace and merits eternal life. Habitual grace is something that resides in the soul all the time. It's a stable, supernatural disposition. Sanctifying or habitual grace is the grace that attaches us to God. Okay. It's what makes us sons of God. Now, once you're in a state of sanctifying grace, okay, or habitual grace, once you're in the state of that, then in order to do more works in that state of grace, you need more actual graces. So what sanctifying grace is, it resides in the soul to make you friends with God. Habitual, okay, sanctifying grace, this is what is destroyed through mortal sin. So when you commit a mortal sin, habitual and sanctifying grace is eliminated from the soul, which is why you need an actual grace to prompt you to go to confession. You need an actual grace to make a good confession. And when you make a good confession and receive absolution, sanctifying grace comes back in your soul. A person has to die in a state of sanctifying or habitual, same terms, habitual grace to go to heaven. That is the question. So anyone who ends up in heaven is a person who died in a state of grace, sanctifying grace. Okay. So it's a lot of terms, all right? But let's review real quick. Grace, right, is God's life in us. It's a participation of God's life. We can do nothing to merit eternal life without God infusing grace into us. Now, to move from a state of fallenness and sin to a state of friendship with God is called justification. That's what that movement's called. For Catholics, justification is something we grow in. Okay, it's not a one-time event, though it's not less than that, but it's more than that. Okay, we grow in our justification with God. When we are in a state of grace, through the prompting of actual grace, we can start to merit eternal life. So our minds and our wills can be strengthened to do work that God finds acceptable because he's at the source of it, all right? And then the two basic types of grace we have are actual graces, which are promptings that God puts in our soul for us to do good works, and habitual grace, which resides in the soul and makes us friends with God. That's basically it, okay? Now, the doctrine of grace is a massive topic, okay? It's one of my favorite topics in all of theology. I'll probably put together a good 6-month in-depth treatment of it at some point in the future, which would be great. But really, those are the basics. So if you have that down, and I'd really encourage you guys to memorize these, get them in your head, make them, you know, get them a part of your system, because you're going to run across these all the time in your studies in spiritual theology and growth and holiness, okay? So what's an application? Okay. Let's just look at three effects of grace and we'll close there. So when grace moves in us, what are three effects? Effect number one, this grace is what makes us children of God. Okay. So to become sons of God, we need grace. So when grace moves in our souls and we are justified before our Heavenly Father, it makes us adopted children. Second, grace makes us heirs of God. Because we're now in the family, we are heirs of God, okay? So the future that God has for us, we now have access to through the grace he gives us. And third, grace makes us co-heirs with Christ, okay? So we are adopted into Christ's mystical body, which is the church. We share in Christ's sonship. He's a son by nature. We're a son by adoption. And the things which Christ receives in the next life, we will also participate in as co-heirs, which is pretty wild. All right. So that is a brief synopsis on the theology of grace. Super fascinating stuff. Guys, remember, all these notes are online. So if you guys go to our website, you can download these, read through them, help you guys study these, really master these terms because we're going to use them all the time. And this is kind of the nitty-gritty of spiritual theology that you have to have down to understand the rest. But all right, keep practicing the rule of life, men. Say those prayers every day. Be working out 3 times a week. Commit time to study and keep growing in holiness, all right? So see you guys next time. God bless.